What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
From Bad Stuff Podcast Network, welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast of words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I am Dara Cochet.
I'm Gerald E. McAvoy.
And I'm Patrick Quigonic.
And you're all very welcome to another non-stop rock and roll episode of the Mother Folklore Podcast.
It's where we talk about
mad stuff all together. I wasn't here last week in the studio when some mad stuff all together went down. Swearing, expletives, rude words, unladylike behavior from a convent girl, shock and talk.
Excuse me!
Were you in a convent school, Gardine, were you?
Yes, I was. Presentation Convent in Portlaoise.
Jesus, how many people were in that school?
I don't remember. I know a few hundred, maybe.
Few hundred, Jesus, and the only virgin was out on the lawn.
Every town in Ireland has a girls' school that's nicknamed the Virgin Megastore. It's such a lame joke. And then I remember once I was talking to a fellow, and he was from like possibly Offaly or possibly Leitrim, you know, one of those non-Dublin places. And he says, he was talking about how there's a girls' school nearby. He says, "Oh, you'll never get this dark." Or the nickname for the school is the Virgin Megastore. And I was like, really? Really? You're the ones who came up with that, huh?
That's hilarious. The thing is, though, like, when did the Virgin Megastore on the Keys close? Like, because I'm pretty sure it was an entire adult ago.
I think there may have still been a Virgin Megastore in 2001, 2002. But
was there
not
a Virgin Megastore on Patrick Street in Cork? Or was that Golden Discs, formerly Virgin Megastores? I can't remember.
But I know
but the Megastore was the Megastore. Like, the Megastore was the big one, the three or four stories on the Keys that's now a Super Value.
And I remember that was when they pushed their luck on the deciding that they would sell condoms not as condoms but as novelty items. The idea, it's strawberry flavored. It's just a thing person might enjoy, and that's how they snuck in as a tax loophole.
Yeah, you can chew one on the bus on your way to get the ride.
Don't this is a public service announcement. Do not chew your condoms before you use them.
Oh no! I mean, you buy a multi pack, obviously. God, don't use the same one you chew. That's a very valuable public service announcement.
You're very welcome. I'm here for nothing but good sexual education. You're very welcome, guys. Yeah.
So it's January. January's a fun month. And I recently had a wonderful experience of making a factual error in a tweet on the internet, in which I don't speak Scots Gaelic. I didn't study Scots Gaelic as in association with my studies of Irish, because I didn't do a degree in Irish or anything like that. Well, I know what both of you did. And I had previously seen a piece on the internet which said that the Scottish for January or Norfeiloch was meant the wolf month, but it doesn't. It means the remains of the year. Or Fuelach, is that the word?
Yeah.
I'm pronouncing it right. And so I shared some information incorrectly, which I hadn't fully researched. I took it down when it was brought to my attention. But in that time, a number of people had, advised me that I'd made a mistake. Some kinder than others, but mostly people who were, factual, saying, "Dark, actually, that's not right." And while, you think someone has a bad day on the internet, well, you might say, "Oh, this person has been correct. A person said something to you, they told you you're wrong." You can live with that. when you start seeing, you know, 17 or 18 people giving it little likes, it feels like it's being repeated to you over and over again. The sensory feedback that we all crave from our evil phones can work against you as well. And so it's possible to get a sense that you're being oppressed when sometimes you've just been disagreed by one person and a few other people saw it and said, yeah, you know, take him down. Fuck that guy.
Look at this idiot and his months.
I think this was a New Year's Day, because I remember there was the our Scots Gaelic friends have a great word for December as well, like the dark
Dúlacán.
Yeah, their months feel a lot metaler than ours, but as it happened, it doesn't mean, while it is the folk etymology of Wolf Month for January is widely enjoyed, it is not a fact. It's not, has no base in fact.
Sorry, I misspoke. It's Dúlacht. Dúlacht, not Dúlacán, it's Dúlacht. Before people correct me on the internet.
Hey, correct him. The calf got something wrong. Take him down.
Oh, fucking rage.
So, and this, I was conscious of this mistake and of the zero consequences I suffered from my mistake when I saw another viral tweet recently, which got significant amount of likes, retweets, and enthusiastic quote tweets with, you know, people writing the word this, you know? Instead of just giving someone a nice cold retweet, you say, oh, by the way, I'm going to write the word this on it so I get some likes of my own, because I'm so great.
I need those fake internet points as well.
I need fake internet points.
This is what the word thread was invented for.
Yes, the word thread. And then a few clapping hands, you know?
Yeah. Oh, the hands up in praise thing.
Just let me have my
own
numbers.
I like the little spool of thread. I much prefer that one. I like the little spool of thread. Yeah.
I'm not even arse typing in thread. I'm going to give you one emoji. Yeah. Just retweet.
A little curtling. Is that a curtling? There's a spool.
Curtling. Yeah.
Because that's like a little little rolled up hedgehog, but also a ball of wool or thread. Thread. Cute. But yeah, so anyway, I was thinking of this mistake that I had made on the internet and the consequences which I had faced, shocking business, in the context of seeing a number of other people on Twitter remarking that they were unhappy with the feedback they received or the discourse around their own use of Irish on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that's cropped up and we've seen it in several tweets over the last while. And it's just this idea that, you know, where people are embarking on a learning journey, it can sometimes be off-putting to have people make comments on either their standard of Irish, their use of Irish, their misuse of Irish, whatever it might be. And, you know, there's a real delicate balance to strike. Like there's a real fine line to tread here that, like, We have the old not kind to the old saying, like, as far Gael Gavrishta no Berla Clishta. But I suppose that sort of leaves out the second half of it, which is like, as far Gael Gavrishta what? Like that like, it's better to have broken Irish than clever English. But clever Irish is actually better again. So you should aspire and aim to have good Irish. But that doesn't mean that along the way some of the quote unquote helpful corrections can just be a bit arsey. Mm-hmm. And that happens. And unfortunately, like, Irish is no exception at all, because there are arseholes in every language on the internet.
Even Basque.
Yeah. I mean, I think English is still the worst. I think the very worst arseholes on the internet speak English.
Well, but I think that actually touches on a really interesting and kind of wider point, is like, you're identifiable as an Irish-speaking arsehole because it's a small community, right? But when it's the majority, when it's the English speakers, it's much harder to say, oh, all of them English speakers who are most of the people who interact, at least on my Twitter and a lot of people's Twitter in Ireland, and a lot of our listeners, I'd imagine, the discourse is in English, this podcast is in English. So it's harder to pick out the specific characteristic. But when it's like those 7, 8, 9, 10 people who I see regularly interacting in Irish, when one of those people is an arsehole, it's so much more visible when a minoritized community does something bad, or bad with an inverted commas, that it's so much more visible. And I think building on that then again is that, like, it can seem very defensive coming from a minoritized community too when they when they maybe lash out at somebody. And I remember meeting an academic one time who clearly didn't know who I was, because he was like, oh, the Irish speakers on Twitter, they'll gang up on you and no business. And I was like, well, I'm the person who's literally lighting the pitchforks. That's me. Like, I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to. But it's very visible when a community, sort of like what you might call, quote unquote, a pylon. But when it does that, and it can seem really aggressive to people. And I get why, because it's a readily identifiable community. But I think it's maybe deserving of a bit more nuance in the discussion as to why that community might be tired of listening to yet again being thrown under the bus or being stereotyped in a certain way, or being everyone painted with the same brush. Because as Pather said, there's arseholes in every community. And I don't want to be lumped in with all the arseholes. I'm an arsehole sometimes, yeah, and I'll own that. But I'm not, you know, we're not all arseholes all the time. Yeah,
I'm an arsehole for a completely different reason. It's not because I corrected you. It's because I just am an unpleasant person to be around. That's totally
I don't want anything good to happen for you.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, you know, I'm not going to correct your grammar, but you stub your toe.
This is something that I'm hoping to address in a number of episodes this year, because the idea is, when people think about Irish Twitter, Irish language Twitter, it's, on one level, it's a self-selected community, but on their level, you know, people experience Irish and Irish identity in lots of different ways. And so when people think about the Irish language mob, or, you know, storming your Capitol Hill or whatever, does that include people who express their Irishness in their identity and how they use it in different ways? It could be someone who has a fad in their name. It could be somebody who is like mad into, you know, Irish language tattoos, but maybe doesn't actually speak Irish very often. It could be someone who uses Irish and who code switches with Irish. It could be someone who is involved in Irish language academia, only follows other people in that sphere. And it could be someone who is actually from a Gaelic area who has who experiences Irish in a completely different way from whether they end up maybe having to leave that community in order to pursue career and educational opportunities that just aren't available in the Gaelic. And if your own experience of meeting someone from the Gaelic is when they move to get away from it, you can get a completely misrepresented view of what that life in that community is like.
Yeah, and like any internet subculture, there are subcultures, you know. And I don't know if it's entirely accurate to categorize Irish speakers as an internet subculture, but in the context of Twitter, in the context of public discourse about Irish, there definitely is. There's a broad subculture, as in when a phone company turns to a woman whose name is in Irish and says, "Can you give me your name in English, please?" Everyone will down tools and let's go jump in on this happy pylon against the anonymous corporate organization, because that's a joyous experience. We all get to make memes and shitpost and call people idiots over this. But then within that, there are, as you rightly described, there are sort of different strata, as it were, of Irish speakers, or maybe just different orbits. People who just don't, you know, I'm not an academic, not anymore anyway, thank God. Sorry, Guardian.
That's so legitimate.
I follow a lot of academics and I interact with a lot of that, but I definitely don't tweet in the same vein, in the same manner. I'm not from the Gaeltacht. I wasn't raised with Irish. I've learned it as a new achaintor. So I fit in with this one particular bubble that marks me as different from some of my very best friends, who marks me and them different from people who have a different lived experience. Just to take an example, like myself and my co-founder, of Pop-Up Gaeltacht, my bud Oscar, friend of the pod, guest on the podcast on more than one occasion. We have different experiences. We're both Dublin born and raised Irish speakers, but he was raised in a family that spoke Irish. I was raised in a family that spoke English. So we've got different approaches to the language and different ideas around it. And neither of us have the lived Gaeltacht experience either. So we're all going to have different approaches to it. And we're all going to have different, you know, and I completely and totally empathize with the learner who comes along and, you know, stumbles and wants to be helped or doesn't want to be helped, wants to be encouraged, doesn't want to be patronized. We're all going to have different approaches to that particular learner as well. Like as someone with Irish as a second language, I'm going to have a different way of dealing with someone faltering their way through Irish on the internet than someone who's got Irish as a first language, or someone who not only has Irish as a first language, but everyone around them growing up had Irish as a first language as well. It was a first community language. So we're going to have different approaches to it in a big way. And that said, and this is the most important caveat here, is that nobody should act the arse. Like, nobody should be dicky about it. That's completely unacceptable. But, you know, I think I just hark back to something that Una Minh Cuivánach said recently online, and it's something she said, Arisha Gazarisha Ella, like, yes, absolutely, it's great to see people using Irish, it's great to see people trying, it's great to see people learning, but you can't treat the Irish speakers on the internet as a resource. Mm-hmm. And like,
as a free resource.
Yeah, as a free resource. Yeah. Wait, he's saying pay me, bitch? Is that what
he's saying? Sorry, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that.
No, but Una Minh has said on several occasions, she gets a lot of feedback going like, oh, I'm going to stop following you if you don't tell me how to pronounce these words that you're using. It's like, dude, fuck off and stop following then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's not there to be absorbed. We're not there to be absorbed as a sort of a museum piece. It's a living culture, and it's going to react in that way. And unfortunately, sometimes there's downsides to that.
I think that actually points to something really interesting too, in terms of as people who, you know, are outwardly using Irish or at least engaging with the Irish language community and activism around it. It's very often that, like, you give away information for free, right? You give away advocacy, you give away tips. And Derek, of course, this is what the Irish War is. You know, you give away words, and that's a wonderful engagement. But I think, and it's true of a lot of discourses, it's not just, and I see it in academia too, that people demand you to explain something to them, and demanding of your time. And that's obviously research communication and everything, and it's wonderful. But then there's also an element of like, well, you know, there's value on my information and there's value on my time, and I'm giving it away willingly for nothing. I'm not saying that everything needs to be commodified, but I'm just saying that there is, with Irish, I think there's often a sense of entitlement to it. And this is not the case for everybody, but there's a little bit of, and I think I was probably guilty of it too when I initially started learning Irish, because of course my journey is different too. And that you might be guilty of sort of like, a little bit of gratification and a little bit of like, well, I'm doing my bit to save your language. So if you could just, you know, give me the whatever translation or help me out with my essay. And that is like a minority. But, you know, you do get a lot of people who sort of rely on certain people like Una and yourselves for, you know, for handholding. And while I think it's wonderful that we have this, which I think is a very welcoming community, that's also not for everybody. It's not everybody's responsibility who speaks Irish to provide everybody who's learning Irish with the facilities. Like, there are numerous facilities available, and people like Oscar have like fantastic resources compiled together on the internet that's regularly available to people. And sometimes for a lot of people, that's not enough. And that there needs to be every guile ever needs to be nice about it, otherwise I'm not learning it. And I'm not saying that that's the predominant discourse, but I'm just saying that, like, as we said earlier, sometimes people are arseholes, and that really shouldn't affect the way you're learning. But I mean, I understand where that comes from, because very often when you're conscious about something like learning a new language, it can hurt like hell when somebody points out something that you're really conscious about, and maybe you were scared to use Irish and you tweeted it, and then somebody pointed out a mistake, and that stings a lot. And then that maybe seems like, well, it's not a welcoming community. And that, I mean, I'm not justifying that at all, but I'm just saying that there's maybe a reason why, because you're very conscious about learning Irish. And,
yeah, and one thing that I really want to point out is that like this sort of scathing mockery of the scathing mockery by certain Irish speakers is not unique to learners.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some really ridiculous shit over the last couple of days, just mocking people who claim to have been raised with Irish, mocking people who have Irish as a second language. And I've spoken to people from the Gaeltacht who actually just don't tweet in Irish because they'd be worried that, like, these same, and it's very, very few people. But I mean, it's nonsense. Like, I my Irish isn't perfect, but my English isn't perfect either. I have the same little grammatical tics and nuances that any speaker would have anywhere. But, and yet I've had to listen to someone on the radio tell me that my name is wrong. because I use the form Pather O Quavonic rather than the accepted form Pather Quavonic. And it's like, mate, I didn't pick my own fucking surname. It was given to me. Like, I hate to break it to you. Like, and I've been called less than a Gael for using my name in English and in Irish equally. And it's like, well, it's good. If it's good enough for Micheál D. O'Higgins / yeah. Michael D. Higgins, you know, get stuffed. So, because like I so want us to be a welcoming culture, this Irish subculture online, and I want us to have our arms open and to welcome everybody in. But just, you know, I think it would be remiss of me as a member of this culture and me as someone who wants people to come into this culture. And like, if there's an old trope, a really, really funny line that was said to me a while ago, is like, if the Irish language is elitist, it's doing a really, really bad job at it because they want more people to learn it. They don't want to keep it for themselves for the small number. But like, you just have to, you know, just this big warning sign. There are unfortunately some dicks.
And there's some communities. I was thinking recently about country music, romance novels, beach volleyball, where a lot of people know what they are, don't know much about them. There's the community who enjoys these things, knows them very well, knows about their internal rivalries, about the actual stories, the heroes and the villains within these communities and who they cheer for and the big stories. Whereas from the outside, people think, you know, the country music is all about a guy being kicked out from his wife, taking his dog in his pickup truck, and that this is a completely different story from the actual, the massive kind of musical rivalries and debates within country music. And similarly, like the geopolitical debates within beach volleyball are very surprising to people who think it's, you know, who see it the way patronizing journalists see it.
As hot people on the beach wearing very little, playing sport.
Well, I mean, when Russia had invaded Georgia when they were playing each other in the Olympics. And so it was one of the most politically charged event in the Olympics since, you know, the other one. But it was
That's why you were watching it.
But there's
for research purposes. Yeah, for research.
I'm interested in the geopolitical aspects of it. Well,
and similarly, that you find something like people think when you mention romance novels to people, you'll get the line, oh, you know, he kind of she whimsically ran her hand across his, you know, his the denim constraints of his whatever, you know, and so forth.
That's good. That's a good line. That's good. The denim constraints. I like that.
Her burning loins moaned as she talked.
I don't like it. Stop.
Yeah. This is but
throbbing pens. Is that a typo?
amongst people who actually enjoy these books, there are writers who are great. There are writers who are tacky and cheap. There are slight changes. There are books that kind of change the direction of the medium. These things are completely not understood by the people on the outside. And the idea is when someone from the outside who just sees Irish Twitter is compounding people with Pádraig Pearce as their bio as their avatar picture and an Irish flag or an Ivory Coast flag in their name.
It's an Ivory Coast flag.
Yeah, yeah.
God loves people of the Ivory Coast. Have they not suffered enough?
Yeah. Poor Didier Drogba and Solomon Kalou. Like, they talk tired about it. With the same roof. Oh,
they talk about it sometimes in French. My French isn't great, but I've seen one or two. Because sometimes you can actually just search for an emoji in Twitter, and so you can start to see people talking the Ivory Coast, you know, so I'm replying in French, saying, you know, qu'est-ce que c'est, mon dude, to people to racist Irish people.
Yeah, I saw that recently. Somebody just said it was just sort of a kind of a very nonchalant tweet. Just someone saying like Irish Twitter is full of ash. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's what? It's not, I was like, oh no, wait. You mean the ones who are like Irish and proud in their bio and like their avatars are of like heroes of the 1916 uprising and they have the Ivory Coast flag in their bio? It's like, oh yeah, no, that, if that's your definition of Irish Twitter, that absolutely checks out.
Come on, Sissy That Pod, let's get sickening.
Are you a fan of the Emmy award-winning show RuPaul's Drag Race?
Do you think about Roxy Andrews at the bus stop?
And do you belong in Party City?
Well, Sissy That Pod is the podcast for you. Join me, James, and my co-host, Keen.
Is there something on my face?
As we chat weekly about the runway realness, sickening shade, and backstage buffoonery.
That's right, whether it's new episodes of Drag Race US, UK, or All Stars. Sissy.pod will spill the tea with a new episode for you within 24 hours.
So make good choices and subscribe to Sissy.pod from the Headstuff Podcast Network, and we'll leave you gagging on our eleganza.
Now, let the music play.
I remember even like a year ago, people were saying there was a huge debate in among, I guess, slightly old post-teen Irish Twitter users, and someone had said, "Oh, Irish Twitter is all this sex chat group," and everyone was like, "What the fuck is this?" And people had a completely different understanding of what Irish Twitter was.
Oh, yeah, because there's people hate being alienated inside of the things. But just to go back to the point that you're making around romance novels and country music and beach volleyball, which is just something I never thought I'd say on this podcast, but there we are. Like Irish speakers on Twitter and people who use Anvailga online are like those and aren't, in that it is a subculture. There's no doubt about it. It's a sort of a discrete movement or group on Twitter. There's no doubt. But those are essentially fandoms they're opt in. And Irish encompasses some of that, absolutely. Like people like me who go and take ownership and say, "I want to learn Irish," that's great. But you don't want to ignore the lived experience of people for whom it's just me and part of who I am.
Yeah.
And therein lies some of the difficulties, in that people are taking a huge leap and they're making a massive effort to try and learn Irish or improve their Irish. And they want to be acknowledged, you know, rightfully, for the work that they're putting into it. Absolutely. But you cannot lose sight of the fact that for some people, it's just the language I've always spoken. It's the language I dream in. It's the language it's the language I have sex in. You know, that it's just that natural part of me. Yeah. So I'm not going to think of it the same way you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to give people that leeway as well, that scope.
And I think there's a difference between, like, say, a fandom and then a minority community finding itself. And what I mean by minority is like that with an identifiable factor. Like, you know, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not afraid to say it. I don't think I'd identify as a Swiftie. But you know, it's a different thing in my identity, the Irish speaking, and the fact that I enjoy Taylor Swift's music. And
the Swifties are going to get you for not identifying as a Swiftie.
And have been for a long time. This is like love story, like since way back. You know, it's not just since Folklore, guys. I'm way back.
Love Story remains her best song.
Yeah,
it's absolute
it's
class.
A fact. Nobody has updated my Wikipedia page. I know I asked for that in the Taylor Swift episode that we did. Nobody has updated that with my little Love Story fact. But anyway, we'll
hang your head in shame.
But I think there's a lot to be said for, like, minoritized communities finding each other online. And there's, like, tons of research on this. Like, way back, I remember reading an article really recently about, it was written in 1994, and, like, the perception of the internet was just the sweetest thing. It was just wonderful. And it was about transgender people finding each other and sort of, like, within inverted commas, trying on their gender identity online for the first time, and, like, sort of realizing who they were for the first time in this, like, they kept saying cyberspace and the net with a capital N, which was just adorable. And all of the potential for the internet was very twee, and, you know, nothing related to fascism or a coup, but anyway. But, you know, these abilities of people to find each other. And I mean, I don't mean to relate the experiences of transgender people to or any, like, minoritized community in that sense to the experiences of Irish speakers. But it is an opportunity for, and you see, I know listeners to the podcast, Maggie Glass in particular is doing research on this, fantastic research in the University of Limerick around fandoms and Irish. But, like, she talks a lot about, like, communities finding each other and how it's a space for people to interact. You know, and me as somebody who lives abroad, I don't get to interact in Irish very often, but the internet provides a space for that and has connected me with people with whom I only speak Irish, or we only message each other in Irish. And that is wonderful. And I think there's a difference, being that it's such an inherent part of who I am rather than something I'm really interested in, like Taylor Swift and her relationship status.
I just want her to be happy so much. That said, I will say one thing. Exile, the one she did with Bon Iver.
Yeah.
Or Bon Iver or Bon Iver. I don't know.
At least she didn't call him John Bon Iver like I did.
I think that's almost as good as Love Story.
That's wonderful.
Just going to put that in there. It's just amazing. the thing about subcultures on the internet, the thing about people finding each other and finding this medium of communication is that there's no defined set of rules as to how you should act, either within a subculture or welcoming someone into the subculture. And in that respect, it's tricky, because what you do is you get somebody, and again, not to draw too thick a comparison between the Irish language online and a fandom, but let's draw a corollary here, and let's say it's like Trekkies or Trekkers online, right? And somebody rocks up into your little internet grouping and they're going like, hey, I'm new to this, new to the Star Trek universe, I'm doing my best. Isn't Voyager brilliant? Isn't Enterprise just the absolute best? By the way, I haven't watched any of that old stuff yet. Like, the last thing you want to do is be the nerd in the corner who calls them not a real fan and tells them to fuck off because they haven't watched all 72 episodes of the original series and they don't think Wrath of Khan is the best thing since sliced bread. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy. You may have a point. You may be pointing out that their experience of the universe, of the subculture, is perhaps, you know, in one definition, flawed. That may be a valid point to raise. But you don't need to be the guy that says it. You don't need to be that stereotypical arse. And I think that's true of absolutely any subculture, whether it's a fandom or whether it's, you know, a language or whether it's a community. If somebody wants to come in and wants to do their best, yeah, sure, draw the boundaries and say that you're not there to be a free resource to be abused. But don't be a dick about it.
Patter. Name three of the Mocha Neelix albums.
Well, Danim Knowing, Dom Nech album. I would name them if they had albums.
It's okay to not like things. It's okay, but don't be a dick about it. It's okay to not like things. Don't be a dick about the things you don't like.
There has been, though, an overlap between fandoms and activism in an interesting way, whether it's K-pop fans sabotaging at one of Donald Trump's rallies by claiming free tickets and making them low and lowering their attendance. And a certain newspaper in Ireland criticised the repeal movement for being more like a fandom than an actual activism movement. And they were shown short shrift. The results spoke for themselves. And particularly, I think a certain male journalist had, not all male journalists are bad, but this particular guy commented on how there was a fashion partner, or that the jumper as an accessory was a shallow thing. And yeah,
but this is people who don't have an ability to shift their frames of reference. You know,
our listeners come here for a big Guardian reaction.
But like, this is like the guy who said that the repeal movement was doomed to fail because they didn't have an identifiable leader.
I think it's the same guy.
Men really have the fucking audacity, don't they? Have you ever read a feminist ever? No? Okay, that's fine.
Why is it always us, Gardine? Why is it always men?
I don't know, man. This is what we need to fucking talk about. Here's the common denominator, okay? Men being fucking terrible. It's always men. You look anywhere, point to it. Men. Who's behind it? A man. A man being fucking garbage. You're welcome. That's it. Solved. That's the fucking, that's the internet subculture, the global subculture we need to fucking ban. Men from existing. How did this turn into this?
Well, just from going on the internet, shall we say. How about that?
Well, I just think you should have to pass some sort of test to be allowed the Wi-Fi password. Do you know?
Gardner, what you're referring to is that men on the internet should be chaperoned.
Yeah, they should be. You should be assigned. You know the way when a woman joins the internet, she's assigned a reply guy within 15 to 25 minutes when she joins the internet. Well, you should be assigned like a content moderator. Who's like just there to help you out in your DMs? Like, hey, Stephen, maybe stop it. Maybe just stop, okay?
Oh, Dwayne, did she ask for a picture of your penis? Did she?
I think that moderator would soon find herself the recipient of some very unpleasant photos.
I know.
I'd love a reply gal, though. I really would. Like, I'd just love someone to just, you know, sort of reply to me when I inadvertently,
a sister. You want a big sister?
A pal is going to whisper in my ear virtually online. Say, don't say that. Don't say that. I know what you mean, but it looks like this.
But how? Don't, why don't you? Do that. What you should get is a woman who replies to you and explains your joke back to you. That's wonderful.
I love that, yeah, actually. That's
really
class.
Enjoyable. I enjoy that a lot.
It makes it more funny. Yeah. It makes it more funny when somebody tells you the same joke,
but
slightly
worse.
Reworded. Yeah.
This is the real enemy, men on the internet. Reply guys on the internet. That's the subculture I want to shit on today.
I imagine if we got rid of men off the internet, being an Irish speaker online, no matter what your level, would be an unendingly pleasant experience.
Just being a person on the internet would be pleasant.
Just one of the things that, like, around minoritized cultures and how you can tell the difference between a minoritized culture or a subculture and the mainstream is that, like, nobody is asking the smelly white male population to justify what happened at Capitol Hill. Like, nobody is calling for the leaders of the smelly white male community to come out and condemn this behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of smelly white males, speaking of internet subcultures, there was Reply All did a great episode on the beginnings of the incel movement in Canada, and it was formed by an academic who, she was a lesbian, she was involuntarily celibate, and she was meeting other people like her on the internet. But what happened was the nice people found other people who were like them, and they were able to leave the community, whereas the people who were left started reinforcing themselves. And you found that the people who were likely to, I guess, direct the entire or be a positive example were actually leaving, whereas other people were staying there. Then the thrust of being an incel online started changing dramatically.
So ruined by gross, smelly men.
Mm, yep.
Yeah.
Was it K-poppers or was it TikTokers who ruined Donald Trump's rally?
Oh, Dad.
It was K-pop TikTokers.
Dad. Was it K-poppers on TikTok, was it? Yeah.
No, it was K-poppers with fan cams.
Was it? Okay. Well, why did he ban TikTok then?
Oh, because of China.
Oh, was it? Yeah. I thought TikTokers ruined his rallies as well.
Possibly, I don't know.
Anyway, listen, more power to them. Fair play to them, the youth.
Up the lads.
With their K-pops,
yeah,
and their TikToks.
I'm saying that like I'm an authority on this, as if I know the first thing about fucking K-pop fan cams or TikTok. I've listened to K-pop to try and get into it. I can't. Like, I wish I liked it. I wish I enjoyed it and that I could be cool and down with the kids, but I'm not. I'm old now. I'm almost 30. It's happening.
Oh, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, I know. Youthful here. This is why I come here, because I'm youthful.
If we do nothing else with this podcast, it's that we let you still feel young.
Yeah.
That's in itself is an act of charity that I'm proud of.
So, but as an actual online community, I mean, does we are going to talk about this again. We're going to revisit this topic because there's a very different experience from being Irish language tattoos and what they represent and being from the Gaeltacht and what that represents and the expectations about it. But before we wrap up, like a lot of online communities sort of they have kind of private jokes and references which operate as kind of a secret handshakes almost. And I was thinking about how, you know, if I mentioned the phrase "I never thought leopards would eat my face" to my colleagues at work, they would have no idea what I was talking about. Whereas on Twitter, people will get that reference immediately. They will get it as possibly quicker than they will get a lot of Monty Python references.
Yeah.
Monty Python references.
I'm not getting a Monty Python reference, that's for sure.
Oh,
well,
but a minister for silly walks once. It was hysterical. Back then, that was the golden age of comedy. Silly walks. Very funny.
What I love is there's a Clickhole article that was like, it's like shocking. The worst person you know just made a great point.
Yeah.
And like now it's at the stage where if you just use the stock photo from that Clickhole article,
the guy.
Yeah, that's a meme now. Everyone knows exactly. Everyone knows exactly what you're talking about. And there is this sort of it's memes. It's all memes. A meme in its original sense is this. Like it's a meme is to communication what a morpheme is to language. It's the smallest possible unit within which sense and information can be conveyed.
From meme in French, the same.
Yeah, exactly. Meme is also how like your ma pronounces it.
Yeah, or Mimi.
Mimi.
Yeah, Kennedy Davenport on Drag Race. They're going to Mimi your ass.
I have never heard that and it's beautiful.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so, like, but that's it. Like these, this is this secret handshake, this code that's there. And like, look, that's always existed with subcultures. Going right back to, say, I think it's Polari, the secret language used by an underground gay community originating in London and spreading out through the whole of Britain. You know, that it's always there. I think it's cool, to be honest with you. I really think it's cool. And I think, you know, for better or worse, every community uses it. Like, you've seen some horrible stuff coming from the far right, talking about like ideas like Coomer and, you know, all these sort of secret, barely veiled threats and abusive memes. So every community has it, some good, some bad. But yeah, does the Irish language community on Twitter have it? Well, I'll say Gwitcha Alpaca. Of course we do.
To get a sweet tea.
Hey, Alpaca, gotcha. Gotcha, Alpaca. Would you get a sweet tea? Alpaca. Ay, yama, heulma.
Yeah, I think the Irish Twitter itself is, it has to be whether Gavin Riley and Richard Chambers have made a joke between each other. And then the smaller subset of Irish language Twitter is, yeah, definitely Gwitcha Alpaca. Which if you haven't seen that, I would implore you to find what we're talking about, because it's just wonderful. It's wonderful. It's a lovely, lovely, it's a lovely use of your time.
Yes, and not a lot of your time either.
No, no. It's like the swan, and put that swan on a lead, you know? The swan in Cork, you know? But in Irish, it's just wonderfully weird.
And on that note, thank you both for joining me today. I hope you found today's episode instructive, useful. And if you didn't, I will tell you how to pronounce it. No. Yeah, with those, until the next time, it is a slán from me.
A slán from me.
Agus slán wimse.
Mind yourselves. Thank you very much for listening to today's episode. We appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we especially appreciate those people who support the show on Patreon. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/Darek. There's a range of benefits for people who are generous enough to support us.
Thanks as ever to Brian for producing, and to the amazing Kirsten Scheel for the lovely artwork.
And if you want to get in touch with the show, you can find our contact details in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you.
Till next time, mind yourselves and slán.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun.
Go to the discourse.